And how you all doing tonight? Let me see if you're watching. And possibly where you're watching from. God is so awesome. Tonight is just instruction night. And I want you to hear me very well. I want everyone to look. Take the things since the day you entered or stepped into the nation. Take the things I've been saying. Put them together. You would have no more question in life. But I also understand very well that usually God's voice in a generation is documented after his voice is gone. I also understand that. So I'm willing for either. If you get it together, piece this thing together. Check the mystery behind it and the results that you see. I have no more questions. That's the first thing I feel like saying to you tonight. On the last night of the word explosion, you know, question never leave people's mind. There is no end to knowledge and revelation and to excitement. A new word and a new word and a new word. And we soon forget the last word and we need another word. And we should constantly need the word. But I'm saying to you tonight that apart from the fact that the works bear witness for me, I bear witness for myself because I understand I know my own encounters. God has sent a voice to the generation, and if you are out there looking for something, it's always been in front of you. Piece this work and word together. You will find instructions in it. You'll find life in it, and you'll find your own call. So you won't even, and I encourage you to read books, know that you won't have to pick up one piece of book ever in your life. Because it's all written right in front of you. And some people were even used as hinks. Put it together. Seek diligently as we enter the last 3 months of the year and hear it. Stop hearing the voices in your head. Hear this. Hear what God has to say to this generation, to this sea, in this season. And in case you don't know, maybe I've said these things too fast. As for the devil and how he wants to attack us, it was late. It's too late, and I say this with all sense of decency and humility. The leaders are here, and they're amazing people, but you see, the core of the work God wants to do is already carved it out. So by the time the devil came around, it was too late. There's nothing he can do. There were only 12 people, minus one. Jesus used them to change the world. There were only 8 people in the ark of Noah. The next generation that God wanted to save was only 8. The core are already here. So I'm not talking to the doubters. And for those of you who are here from the Givers Club to Phoebe's to Elite to Connect to Pulse to COD to Power Base, those who are there, it is God. And those who are not even in any of those fellowships, but you're watching tonight because something clicked in your heart. It is God that put me in your heart. It is God. You couldn't do otherwise. So Satan could not hurt me. He couldn't do it. So please, either it is someone that is far away or someone that is with me every day. I just understand that God has carved out what he wants. So So what if someone that is with me every day, or God forbid any of the family had rebelled tomorrow? I'm just looking at them like, you were panty anyways. You know, when God was doing something and it just made you hang around, it doesn't mean anything. Judas was, panty means dirt. It's just to, okay, let me say something to you. You see, when you bought this iPad was important, but it came with a lot of things to protect the iPad. You know those white fluffy things? Imagine with the iPad, you still have those white things around, including the box. And each time you want to open your iPad, you remove the sellotape. You take the box. You remove those white little things. When God removes those things and you start complaining, God said, it's because I have gotten to the iPad. That is not a statement of hatred or trying to prove that I don't need anybody. No, this tonight, in a moment, I'll begin to prophesy. What you're listening to tonight, I want you to hear me clearly. It's a voice. Yesterday night was powerful. Thursday night was powerful. But tonight, it's a word for a generation, something that kickstarts your new month. In some few months or weeks, an old chapter will close for another to start. It's a voice tonight. So I don't want to teach you. So I'm asking you to go back to these words. Put the puzzle of these things together. The way the creativity, I've worked creativity for church. I've worked 3 generations ahead of any church that you can see around. Forget about Toby. Let's talk about the word. Eventually, they will catch up to the word that I'm speaking now. It will take another 2-3 generations. Eventually, they will catch up with your style. So it cannot be me, because if it is me, the words that you hear will be studied. That's a fine pastor. That's powerful. It is not studied. I look at some word for 1 second and everything comes in a rush and I get it. I know this word. It is not study. There is a voice to a generation. So I already know that, you see, Givers Club, right? It's not meant to be 100 people. And God can use a man, one person, who can put this puzzle together and meet the need of anything he wants to do. So let me give you some steps tonight. Yesterday we spoke about the 7 eyes. You remember how we got there? That's workings of things. So a friend or so was telling me yesterday night, this word is so powerful, I want billions of people to hear it. I'm thinking, you've not heard it. And you're around the world. You want billions to hear because it's so powerful, but you didn't hear it. But you know the importance of it. So I've had people say to me, I wish the world can just know how important and how this church is changing lives. But it's not changing us. You can know the importance of something does not mean you have access to it. Working in a bank does not make you rich. You understand money. You see rich men. You even count it. You are the one that puts it on SoundCloud, but you've not accessed it. And so what God wants me to tell you tonight, so see how we walked this word out till we got to the 7 eyes. And what caused the 7 eyes was the sacrificed lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. He said, look well at this lamb. So I realized why Jesus needed them to stay with him for 3 years. He needed to sit on them, that they will not be contented with the little called provision. They will understand that the gospel is nations. Ask of me. He said, you are my son. Today have I begotten you. Then he told them, we've treated this before. Then he told them, your first request should be nations. Not a house. Not a car. Those are the panties. That's the dirt, the junks that you use in order to get to the main things. They are the things that shield the presence of God. So in other words, nothing wrong with those things. It's just that they are just the covers or whatever for the real deal. It said, the first thing I want you to ask of me is the nations. And if you dare give me the nation, I will make you make... I mean, if you dare ask me for the nations, I'll make you make heaven. No, I will give you the ends. I'll give you the ends of the earth as an inheritance. Meaning, you will not work for it. Oh God. And God sent me in the generation to break stereotypes and limited mindsets. They say that nothing that you get in this earth is enough. And let us not mind words, no matter what I say. It is the people of Jesus that will end this world. In other words, they will be the one to bring in the greatest economic revolution ever. It's still Jesus' people. It's not just the religious Jesus we met. That's the one I'm against. That's the one that is not real. That's the one they ask if he's black or white. This one has no color. He is the Word. He's a lamb. He has red on him as much as he has white. The red is not his blood, even though it's his blood, but it was not shed because of him. It's the sin of the world. That is Abraham. That is Isaac. If you're watching for the first time tonight, you will not understand how we got here. You have to go back to Thursday. So the seven eyes. You know, Jesus started a proverb and he said, how terrible it is when the blind. I wish we can start from there tonight. And I want you to follow me easy tonight. I understand crowd. I understand why pastors want to have significance in crowd, because in themselves they were empty anyways. Once you get there, just let me know. And so, God speaks to us tonight. This is the most urgent message I've ever brought to you, so I will go as easy, and I pray for that self-control. The seven eyes, the blind. Tell me.
Matthew 23, yes, from verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel.
So maybe I've forgotten the four, or maybe I was too fast. Scribe represents institutions. Things that are set. If you have a parent, or you have parents who have been to church, they want you to go to church, pastor, by older people, because it looks set. It's a pervert. They don't know, and they will never know, and they will never know. But they like it because it's a scribe institution. It's scribed. So, scribe means institutional things that are already said, and Pharisees are deep religious people. You know those who still trip your conscience even after you've listened to PT for many years, and you listen to them and they start preaching big Bible, and you think, oh man, I told one of your sisters today, isn't it the worst thing in this world is to have less self-assurance? When you're not assured in yourself, like everything just looks like, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something wrong? Isn't it the biggest bondage ever? It's terrible. Because she came to say, oh, you see that part where I was dancing in the video? Can they remove it? But you were there 2 minutes ago doing it, and then you want it removed. Why though? I just don't. Was it silly? I was having fun, but you've projected people who will watch it, and how they will say, oh, she's silly. That's a big bondage though. That's that you've got problem. So you hear someone, you've heard the word, you've heard the word about prosperity, and then one man, you don't know him, but because he looks poor, and he looks like he knows what he's saying, and all of a sudden you are thinking, oh, should this thing even be right? Really? Pharisees are so convincing, because they also know they know the Bible actually, the Torah. They know him. They know the Torah so much so that when the word came, they don't know him. So what blinded them from the word was the word. they could not enter a new season. They were dead in the old season. So when Jesus came, they said, Moses is what we know. We don't know Jesus. But you see, as for Moses, they recognized religion because it was passed down to them. They've studied it. You cannot study the Holy Spirit. It comes on you. And study him. You see, that's where the church missed it. So when a revival happened 100 years ago, they call it Azusa thing. So for another 100 years, you still have people studying it. Some people are still studying it now. And when they tell you about it, you say, wow, revival, wow. It doesn't mean anything to this generation. You don't care about Azusa Street. What you know is Beckton Street has gone mad. Beckhamai Street has gone mad. So you wouldn't care less about Azusa because that's in America. Are you listening to me? I just want to study revival. How Azusa Street in 1901. How did Azusa Street? Azusa Street. How did it go and Selfridges remained? Because Selfridges evolved. It worked in time. Imagine Selfridges said, "We want to study how they dressed in 1900, and we're not going to let go of it because this is real dressing. Be real. As in good old days," says Selfridges. You're not going to go there. It's not just that you're going to go there. You're not going to go there. It will be irrelevant. I'm coming somewhere tonight. Please talk to me. What are you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites? Why?
For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte.
One convert. Brother Jay, one. These guys will go everywhere to win one. And when?
And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself.
Do you see what institutions do? Parenting is institutions too. Pharisees, parenting institution, Pharisees, religious leader, hypocrites, people who tell to people to do things they cannot do. It said they are the one, their job is to make son of hell. This is Jesus speaking. They actually convert people. Imagine, and what do the Pharisees use? Scriptures. What are the Pharisees known for? Bible, Torah. But they use it to make people son of hell like themselves. Why? Because they don't evolve in time. Talk to me.
Woe to you, blind guides.
We say,
whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind.
This is Jesus speaking. So before someone says PT speaks, look at this is Jesus speaking, and I hope you actually understand he did not say this in English. Convert fools, calling someone fool or pastor, convert it to your language and feel how it sounds. I'll leave that to your imagination.
Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it.
The blind leading the blind. But look at this now. As we're about to worship and just prophesy. In a system where we ended yesterday, that the world is led by one-eyed men. Have you seen the Illuminati sign? Why do you use one eye when you have two? And that's supposed to be the height of knowledge, right? But it's one eye. It sees like this. And when you see that, just that sign alone says cultism, wealth, extreme wealth, right? Some hidden knowledge. So Satan already told you, my best knowledge is like this. But the lamb that we found, the sacrificial lamb, had seven eyes. So what is this lamb? Seed. The Bible calls him the Lamb of God. It was a seed. So you see seed, right? Seed goes into complete blindness in order to see. Let me show you something. It said, behold, I will give you hidden riches. I need that scripture. I want you to stay with me. Hidden riches in dark places. What did Jesus come to do? Restore Eden. Where were the riches? Hades. Beneath the earth. Where do seeds go? You dig the earth. You put the seed in it. Talk to me.
I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places.
You cannot get the hidden riches of secret places until you hide riches in secret places. So when Jesus came, they dug the earth. They planted him. This seed called Jesus began to see what ordinary man cannot see with normal eyes. Seed sees what eyes cannot see. I can't see my future. I can only project evil. Projection of evil is why I keep money. But the problem is I hide it with one-eyed man. That's the bank. They don't see to sow when recession hits. And see, I invested a lot into property. Yeah, right. When recession hits, the one-eyed man is hit himself. But you see, the one that was buried, I love Jesus when he began to speak about seed. He said, the kingdom of heaven is as if a woman should find yeast and hide it among many dough. He buried it. So what I saw was when seed gets to the ground, it is hidden. Why? Because it is sent there to look for hidden riches. What happened when Jesus died? The first night, he went to Hades, where Satan took everything. Satan actually hid riches from man. He went to Hades as a seed, for God so loved the world that he gave. His giving was a seed to the earth, but he cannot harvest the earth until he gets all the riches stolen, taken from Adam. Adam took all these things because God gave him and handed it over to Satan on the altar of disobedience, which I still call unsacrificial living, because what Adam did was he wanted a breakthrough before time. He forgot that what he was sent to do is to replenish the earth, subdue it, help humans. But for him, it was about him. So he wouldn't sacrifice, he would heal. So that leads to disobedience. But Jesus, so I realized something. Look at this. The first thing God would do in your life is the gift of people. Because in them is hidden treasure. So when it said don't fornicate, don't sin, right? It wants you to be a seed that produces those other people. You didn't hear me. So left to humans, right? They will not be holy by themselves. They can have all the treasure. They can have all the goodness in them. But they will not produce it. So it is not so. You know what Adam will do? Adam will leave those humans that he's supposed to cultivate and grow. He will look for Harvard graduates because it's long to begin to sow into a 16-year-old boy. So that's Adam. He will go eat the tree straight. He will look for Harvard graduates, or he will look for people who are already popular. Can I have a meeting with Mr. Popular? Can I have a meeting with Mr. Politician? Can I have a meeting with Mr. President? He's looking for a fruit to eat because it's about him. Are you listening to me tonight? But you see, not Jesus. Jesus would pick Peter by the fishing boat when Peter was in lack, right? And he will sow himself. He said, for their sake, John 17, I have sanctified myself. So he set himself apart. He was sown as a seed so that Peter can be harvested. Are you listening to me tonight? I got got something today. And I said, whoa, listen to me. I was excited. God told me, you see, because harvest is not your choice. I want you to hear me. Harvest is not what you chose. Harvest is God's will. You didn't hear that. How do I say this now? Okay, let me use my sister. I think she's watching in Canada, right? You have two law firms, or one or three. It's not your choice. You don't get two or three law firms and say, wow, what a great harvest. You don't know, because it's not your choice. You're not the one to decide harvest. Did you hear what I just said? You don't decide harvest. If you decide harvest, you become God. God may want you to be the largest law firm in the city and in the country. That's God's harvest. It's God's will. Are you listening to me? It's God's will. So you don't decide, well, by now I have two, so wow, what a great. No, God says, what are you talking about? In your seed, all the nations will be blessed. So God took Abraham out and said, count. Abraham cannot decide. Left to Abraham, he would say, three children, four children. God said, that's not your own. You don't get to decide your harvest. You don't get to decide what you get. It has to play according to my will in a generation. It is dependent on what I'm doing in a time. So God said, if harvest is not your choice, seed is not your choice either. That made me dance. So he's saying that seed is not your choice. You don't choose seed because you don't choose harvest. In other words, he's saying, Toby, you are not in control. You don't control anything here, because any harvest I give to you is pre-planned. We planned it from eternity. We wanted to do something. And so the only thing that is your choice is not, it's not even your choice, is that you were born again. Harvest is not your choice. You don't choose harvest. Where we grew up from in the teaching of faith, they said, sow for X, sow for B. There's nothing like that in the Bible, by the way. Check your Bible and show me one. Faith teachers. It was the revelation for the time, and that's fine, but everything advances, right? So we've advanced. God says, because harvest is not your choice, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth. So God is up to something. That's why when you sow, you expected some things and they didn't happen, because God says, that's not your choice. I choose. And that's why scripture will now say he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ever ask or think of. He said, if you ask me for a nation, I'll give you the ends of the earth. Imagine I was sowing for a Spark Nation 10 years ago. It's not my choice. I can't even see it. But you see my seed, right? When God was saying, separate yourself, fast, pray, do this, do that. My seed saw a Sam. My seed saw an Obi. My seed saw, there is no amount of newspaper that can detach these ones, because they were product of seed. They were in hidden places. They were treasures. But they were in hidden places. But all I had at the time was me as a seed. And God says, you can't sow money for this. You can't. What you just do is don't damage that seed. Sow it. But I can't see Nikki. There's no way I can dream of, there will be a woman preacher from, look, I can understand that an American woman preacher then, because you see them on television. But that there will be a Nikki, a Hindi, a Pastor Shadi. I can't see it from Croydon, from Islington, from Camberwell. I can't see it. So God says, no, I actually made you go London to sow you there as a seed. So you've got to be a kitchen potter there, that seed. But when you're sowing those seeds as a kitchen potter, there are things your normal eyes cannot see, because it's one. The most you can see is to look at grown churches and say, I like that church, one eye. But he didn't know that there were people in prison, in Becton, in Pentonville, in Wormwood Scrub, in all this prison. But the only way to see and draw them, hallelujah, the only way to see and draw them is my seed. It has to go to where they are.
So for God so loved the world only means that Jesus has to go to Hades. Did you see what he said that he did in Hades? He fought Satan and took God back from him. He resurrected and said to Peter and Co, he said, behold, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I went to get it. The Bible says he preached to the soul. Oh my God, I wish we had more time. He preached to Abraham in Hades. It's a place of soul. You know what soul means? Do you know what Hades means? The Greek methodology or mythology, whatever. Hades is an abiding place of souls. People that were in prison based on their expectation of life and reigning in life, the human expectation. So Jesus went there and said, they promised. The Bible says they did not obtain the promise. They did not obtain. As powerful as Abraham is, he did not obtain the promise. Now the seed came. Jesus manifests and tells them, now we can get all the power back, because Abraham could not do it as powerful as he was. Moses could not do it. The dimensions of the prophetic could not do it until the sacrifice, the lamb came. He went to Hades and taught those souls. Those souls were waiting all life till they died. Some of them lived to the age of like 300 and they never saw it. They never saw what was promised, what their soul clicked. When they first encountered God, they never saw it. And the promise came, Jesus. Because you know why they didn't see it? When they died, they could not resurrect. But the church called Jesus back. So before Jesus went there, he said, upon this rock, Peter, because now you've seen. You've seen something. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. So that's how you will know it's an installment for his own resurrection. Because the same Peter will later say, you're not going to die. And Jesus said, that's the devil. But God gave him that installment so that Peter, meaning purpose, meaning the reasons, the people for which Jesus came, called him back from the dead. So if the spirit of he that raised Jesus from the dead abide on the inside of you, there is a purpose. He needed to hand over the power back to the church. That's why he did not stay, because he's not going to be the one to use it anymore. It will be Peter that will use it. Are you listening to me tonight? The seed sow. If you think that there is already an harvest for what you've sown, you're playing God. There isn't yet. For eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. I think I've started prophesying. Neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. What do those who love him do? They gave, for God so loved the world that he gave. So they, for those that love him and those that are called according to his purpose. Hidden knowledge is why we hide money where it belongs. What I know is why I give money. So the first one is people. For you that are leaders, he sends those ladies your way. You're pastoring them and they look vulnerable. He's only saying, don't touch them. Sow yourself as seed and the best of those ladies will come out. Forget about the past now. Let's talk about where we are now. For the ladies to whatever. He said, you sanctify yourself for their sake. And what you will reap down the line will be more than 5 minutes sexual pleasure. You didn't understand what I just said, did you? You didn't understand it. Because they are hidden treasures. There is a, no matter how vulnerable she looks, no matter how much she looks like you can use her, no matter what she thinks that she's looking for, when you sanctify you, and that applies to any other area of your life. When you sanctify you, there are people that you can get little money from and cheat them and run. But if you sanctify yourself from that, what happens is what they carry is bigger than that. But they are not going to give you until you become a seed. We hide holiness. We hide. Because
If you don't take anything out of this, take this out. Seed sees where the treasures are. You can't go there. If God shows you the revelation of Hades and you see all the wealth there, you can't even still get it. Only seed attracts it. I love when the psalmist then said, deep calls unto deep. I love that scripture, if you will. You see, if there are deep things that I want to attain in life, put in my spirit by God, not by head ambition, it is going to be the greatest gift to myself to understand that it's so deep that I need deep to fetch it. And so shallow people will never understand deep, because for shallow people, they are ready. 90-something percent of people are ready to come to this world, just have children, pass it on, and they are ready for that. But there are people who are saying, no, I'm called to this life for something deeper. You will have to go into the deep, but you can't reach it. Seed goes, seed sees. There's a place a person gets to. Nothing will hinder you again. It's impossible. I knew when Spark crossed that threshold, it's nothing in this world. Nothing. I said, I had a dream. Spark did this. Something went down. Usually, they go down after. It's still mysterious to me because I'm thinking, could they be Spark then? Maybe they are Spark. And also myself going down. They say, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Your dream, my foot. The mom's church pastor's prophecy, my foot. If he was a prophet, it won't be where you met the church. Talk to me, please.
Oh, my God.
Is that the scripture you are just saying?
Psalm 42 from verse 6.
Talk to me.
Oh, my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls on to deep at the noise of your waterfalls.
You cannot, everything that we're talking about in the nation family, since the day you understood this word or you're understanding this word, I'm only calling to the deep. So please forget Instagram and social media popularity or stuff. I honestly, to God, I don't give a care. Not talking to shallow people. At the noise of your waterfall, deep calls unto deep. And you can look at a whole planet and a whole nation, a whole continent tonight, and look at what would it take to solve the problem of Africa or solve the problem of young people in Europe, and you realize it's too deep. Politicians get into office with all manner of promise to make life better. Then the first day they sit in the office, they realize deep. They realize why their predecessor that they were criticizing, why they couldn't do anything, is deep. So my brother still thinks that he's going to solve nation problem by just reading and speaking grammar. I want you to know that the structure of the economy and the astronomy of the astrologers, that are rubbish. So they get there halfway and realize, I can't do nothing. Then they become part of the rotten system. The world is not always going to be like that. There will be new church frontiers economists. They will change the world because of the fact that they understand that. Let me tell you something. And I like testimonies. Someone said, because we saw this and God did this miracle, da, da, da. Can I please submit something to you? There are people who saw like you saw and nothing happened, seemingly. God is not going to give them that harvest. He gave you for purpose, not for the fact that you saw the fact that you found grace to sow was because harvest was calling you. So someone that withdrew from sowing, I already knew harvest is detached from them. Because they might have skipped the first process of sanctifying themselves for a person's sake, for people's sake. What is pulling me to sow is harvest. It's not the fact that I'm in a group and Eli, Pastor Nikki is going to push me and say, oh, why didn't you sow? No, that's not what pushed me to sow. Harvest was pulling me. So when I'm rolling on my bed at night because God just said, go to so-and-so and sow X, and I didn't know where to get it from. Why was I restless? Because for our parents, they would just say, are you crazy? Are you mad at her? But look, they're already in their harvest. People that are in their harvest, how can they tell me about my seed? They're already in their harvest right now, right here. You can see their harvest. And so, look at this. Hidden knowledge made me hide holiness and money in the best bank. God's movement is the best bank ever. And men will kick against this. They will go mad. But when they go mad, you should ask them, did they ask you for money? Okay. No. We're just fighting for people that they should not be used. You are fighting for someone. You. You that can't fight your wife for your own peace. Like you can't be free from your wife. She pays your, or you pay whoever pays. You can't fight for your own financial freedom. All of a sudden, you're fighting for people, some kids somewhere that you don't know. We just want to know that there's a right for young people. You failure in life. You of all people, you've not fought for nothing in life. You're gonna fight for me. We're just fighting for young people in Christ. You liar, you can't fight to even pay your rent, and the rent is like 400 bucks by year. You can't fight for that, and all of a sudden you're fighting for some junk people. No, you just wanted to take government money. Everything bows to the man of sacrifice, 100%. The seed went to hell. So you see, in the realm of men, when a woman needs to conceive, she needs the seed, the semen of a man. In the spiritual realm, children are produced by words. In the realm of men, men have to sow seed. Either natural or scientifically, but a seed has to be involved. And so, when the man deposits a seed, a whole generation starts again. How do you know what God wants you to be? He led you to the nation family. The word that I speak, they are spirit, then they are life. They first exist in the spirit, so it's for a spiritual man to understand. But then they are life, you can see it. So how do you know your future? You look at what begets you. No, you didn't hear that though. How do you know that you've been born? You were born by the seed of a man. But a time comes that God calls you out of that, or you can go back to that and continuously and be emotional. You like the seed, and you have to, because that's what birthed you. But a time comes that Adam becomes born by word. He's a new child now. But what made him a new child? The word. So Jesus was the seed, is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and God was the word. So when God begins to send these kind of words your way, he wants to birth you. What would you become when the word births you? What would you become? A better bookie, a better abbey, a better dummy? No, a God. No, you didn't hear me. So seed is how man came. The seed of man produced man.
The seed of God is his word. What does his word make you? God. It's as simple as that. So you cannot be halfway through. The only thing blocking you is soul, your mind. You see that emotion fluctuates. You are happy now, you are sad because you've not been bred by the word. But anyone that has received the word, so I don't think about giving no more. I am giving because I'm the gift. This is my whole life. This is my breath. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is my blood. So it doesn't fluctuate in this arena. When we get to this arena, it is no longer my feeling or what I need to pay or not. It is me now. So I've given myself, for they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. They gave themselves to the word. And so I wasn't thinking about it when we were kitchen potting to give. I wasn't thinking if I was in my right mind. Do you understand that? If I was in my right mind, we shouldn't do that. If you are your right mind, you shouldn't give like you give. But then I'm not in my right mind. I'm in God's mind now because that's what I was birthed with. So that's why it won't work. A pastor can go and copy his back style, and I love that. You can tell people about giving, they will not. You know why? They are not birthed by the word. You cannot make them what you're not. Should I just stop here? So when the seed went to hell, it got all things back as a seed, not as a strong man. When it was on this earth, it was strong. It walked on the water. He fed 5,000. But I didn't get everything Satan stole. Miracles and the power of God. You know, the power of God is moving. It does not make Christians rise to take the world. It is death. You didn't hear me. He didn't get everything that Eddie stole by the miracle. So he did perform miracles to people. He did heal the blind, but that did not restore them. Usually they vanished. Miracles were done on them, but they never became disciples. I was trying to tell my friend yesterday, but for him, it's always flesh to accomplish spiritual things. He likes spiritual things, but it's always flesh. I will change the world when I make money. I will be sacrificed. So it's flesh to do spiritual. Never. It's spiritual to now become flesh. He will say, I need this message. It's so powerful. Billions of people need to hear it. Jesus had thousands of people listening, but he never preached solid word to the multitude. He got the 12. He went to the mountain with them. He taught them principles like, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls and dies. He said, it abides alone, like nothing is going to happen. You understand? If it's not sacrificial, if it doesn't die, but sacrifice must be based on obedience, like Pastor Dami said. Except it falls into the ground and die, it abides alone. But Jesus knew these 5,000-10,000 people cannot die. They cannot fall into any ground. Already they were telling him, no ground for us. Oh. No ground, no sowing, no ground. We just come to eat bread and go home. The multitude just come to look at what Peter is wearing. What giveaway is happening? If I go spare, will I be prosperous? That's the multitude. And you should provide for them because they will always need you. The Bible says the poor will always be with you. Wouldn't it be a silly statement for him to say the poor will always be with the poor? Because if he says it's with you, then that means you're not poor. Or maybe you are not rich either, but you are you. Do you understand? The poor will always be with you. So whatever you means, as minus poor, exactly, it's not poor. And so if someone says, well, who told you that Jesus wants you rich? He's a liar. Yeah, maybe not rich, but he wants me to be you. Whatever you means by time, man. So don't bite me, Mr. Preacher, man. So seed is the answer to the greatness request. When you say, I want to be great, God said seed. When he purposes you for greatness, God wanted to be great, and he's great, but he wanted to be great. He wanted the whole world, right?
The answer to prayer is seed, not harvest. Because it puts the prayer in your heart, whatever you desire. You desire to be a billionaire, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Because you will not become it outside of purpose anyways. So no matter how much you desire it, my job on Wisdom Wednesday is to steer you up to do it. But I know not everybody will be billionaires. Maybe it's not purpose, right? But how do I know that it's not purpose? You try. But when that desire hits your heart in your childhood, what it will give you is seed. The answer to God, make me great, is seed. So when I ask for harvest, it gives me small seed. Imagine God so loved the world. It can't rest. It loves it. It loves it. It loves it. School is not the answer to greatness. And I encourage those of you who are in school, do your best. If your parent is watching me before they bite me and say, he said they should not go to school. You can't bite me, daddy. I'm not your son. Even your own son, you can't bite. So before we center our lives on Western education, just realize that, look at someone struggling to pay their school fees. Say, you're going to borrow to pay school fees. To graduate to become what exactly, please? All those who are struggling with you. This one, you read accountants in school. Are you an accountant now? This one, you read law. Are you a lawyer? This one's going to read architecture. What are you architecting? Anyways, no one has gone to uni, studied law. You can't sleep day and night studying, reading law, criminal law, civil law. I mean, civil this, da. You learned Latin, no, as a Yoruba girl, as a Igbo girl. You learned Latin about land law. Now you are hairdressing. You're a hairdresser now. In other words, wouldn't it be the best thing in life to first find your field of success and add your education later if you so please? Started life on the wrong footing. His daddy says, oh, are you in school now? Have you graduated? People usually graduate into poverty. So this says, I'm going for my graduation into what exactly? That's not diminishing education if you are called to it. There are those who are called to that. There are those who have just gone to waste their time. Francis, don't laugh at me because I did ask you to go to school so that, let me tell you the reason now, so that, okay, I'll leave it. So that I can at least control some things in your life for a while. Otherwise, you'll be a prophet now in Southeast London telling people what never happened. So I needed you to get some education because it all started on a mad footing. So I needed some sort of decency and white people around you so I can now say, okay, it's now decent. Washed by the blood of Jesus. Making children on earth, the same thing with you, Obi. The same thing with you, Enrique. So look at this now. Look at this. I want to stop soon. I've shown you Hades, the place of souls. Wealth is hidden in souls. I think you remember when we did wealthy souls. They are in hell. Potentials all around. So if God is going to save them, look at what he does. I want you to see the wisdom of this. He calls a spark nation out. That is the church. So we can't just look at every church and say, the church, the ecclesia. No, they are not, because they are still in soul level. You know why? When they wake up tomorrow, they're going to go to church so that God can bless them. Many people, if they are blessed, they won't go to church. If they are blessed, even with aid, they won't just go. So it is still Hades. It is still hell. And you can call Jesus in Hades. Abraham was there. Abraham was there. He was in Hades. And Jesus went to preach to them. So it is still Hades. Have you seen people praying morning till night? It's because of themselves. Expectation of Saul. And God says, if you are going to liberate the world, I will call out a people and make them fall into the ground and die. So if you look at the way we sacrifice, the way we live, the way we give, it is except a corner which falls into the ground. The church is the death path that brings life back. So you're not going to save this generation. Oh God, are you listening to me tonight? You're not going to save this generation until they calls you out. He didn't call Peter out to bless him. He called him out to kill him so that he can give life. So when Paul will say things like, as though poor, yet making many rich. Does it make sense that you're one of the major giving movements in the world, but you look at yourself at home and you say, I can't even buy a second. I can't even do this, but you are poor, but yet making many rich. That is the seed that died. Are you listening to me? Every dead seed gives life. So look at the first seed. It rots away in darkness. But guess what? You see new plants coming out. Hallelujah. This generation is going to rise with young people, fresh with life, because it called you out as the dead generation. Are you listening to me tonight? Except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. Paul said something like, we carry death in our body daily. I'm about to stop. So when I look at certain things and say, how many people's rent have I paid? How many people were trying to balance their mortgage to buy their house? How many deeds have I done? How many cars? How many immigration have we paid for? And sometimes we lack all these things. Are you listening to me tonight? But a seed dies. It rots. If you dig a seed after a few days, it's mixed with the earth. Oh my God. But when it mixes with the earth, with the dirt, it's actually calling the minerals of the earth, calling it to itself, and it begins to give new life. Are you ready for me? It begins to give new life. So from a dead seed, I wondered as a child, I love Jesus so much, but I wondered as a child, when Jesus resurrected, why didn't he show himself to the own nation and say, oh, be, you thought you killed me. I'm back. I wondered as a child that wouldn't that be greater? Why did you sneak away? Wouldn't it be greater? He said, no, they have to reckon me dead. That the next time they see me as alive will be through Peter. I don't want to show them. I want to make myself available to them. The proof is not in how powerful I am. It is in how powerful my seed, me as a seed, is God. Jesus is God's seed. Jesus wanted to show how powerful the seed is. Not the fruit that comes from the seed. Not the seed itself. I could have used this money to do this. God doesn't want to show your money. He wants to show what your seed provided. Let me round up with this scripture. Talk to me.
We are hard pressed on every side.
We are hard pressed. A church that is not hard pressed is not a church. These churches are not hard pressed. And when your hard pressed starts reducing, you'll be out hard pressed with rent. Things that does not advance the kingdom. You'll be hard pressed with two aunties fighting in church. We chose our own hard pressed. For we are oppressed
on every side.
Did you see the word every? You're pastoring. You're trying to sow. But then your wife develops a sickness. The apostolic anointing is growing. You don't even know where the sickness came from or the depth oppressed. On every side. But when you press an orange on every side, it's not the orange that is important anymore. It produces juice. Look at what God
God is saying tonight, the vine is ready. The fruits are there. They are already hard pressed. The nations are thirsty. The angels are about to serve the wine.
It says, for on this mountain, the Lord will provide all manner of food and fine wine. They are pressed from the vine. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Fruit, any fruit in me that produces. The world does not eat fruit anymore now. They drink it. So you didn't know, you won't understand that. So in this new season, for we are hard pressed. So I provided my own hard press. Choosing to live with people is me hard pressing me. So when you get back home, tell your wife, this is hard pressed. It is the apostolic anointing. It is hard pressed. So we are hard pressed on every side.
But not crushed.
These roots don't get crushed. They are just pressed to produce juice. They are just pressed to make it more liquid. Talk to me.
We are perplexed, but not in despair.
It is okay to be perplexed. Perplexed means you look at all the problems and say, why? What's going on? But we are not distressed. Perplexed is, I wonder what's going to happen next, but it's not a distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Thank God for the persecution. Persecuted, but not left alone. Struck down.
Struck down, but not destroyed.
Some people still hear about when you were struck, but you were not destroyed. Talk to me, verse 10.
Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus.
He didn't carry the life, he carried the dying. What is the dying? The sowing of the seed. Oh my God, but we see Jesus tonight. This is my gospel. Nothing can stop the man of seed. Nothing can break the man of seed. My harvest is not seen yet. The world will see this harvest.